We left off last time discussing the question of hatmana of the mikzas and whether a person would violate hatmana even if a portion of the tafshil or the kadeira is mutman, even a minimal portion. And that's the position of the mechaber, that hatmana of the mikzas is hatmana. In the case discussed in Rishonim, even if you have a kadeira or a tafshil that is touching coals on the bottom, that would be a problem of hatmana. That's hatmana of the mikzas. That's the position of the Mechaber, and the Chasan Ish thinks that the Mechaber is lahalacha, despite the Ramah that we'll talk about again in a moment, that you have to be choshesh that even Hatmada b'mikzas is Hatmada. The Ramah, however, disagrees, and the Ramah assumes that Hatmada b'mikzas is not Hatmada, but the question is, then what is Hatmada? It's not clear, and we began discussing last time, there are at least three possibilities. According to the Ramah, even if we'll be makel that Hatmada b'mikzas is not Hatmada, does that require Hatmada b'kulo? Does that require hatmana de rubo? We saw Lashon Rebbein and Tamei Sefer Yashar that has o miksasa o rubo, which sounds like he's mesupik whether you need rov or o rubo or kulo. Sounds like he's mesupik whether you need kulo or rubo sufficient, as Rabbi Bleich points out in his brief article in Tradition, republished in Contemporary Halakhic Problems, volume probably 7 or 6. But that's the question. What is, if you don't, if hatmana b'mikzas is not hatmana, what is the alternative? And if it's mutman on all the sides but not on the top, so the lashon of the Ramah here in Reish and Gimel was simply Yanda Sif Aleph. Afilu makadero yesh omer afilu makadero medes lagabe ish mamish kol zman shehi megula lamala lo mikri hatmana v'shari. If it's uncovered on the top, that's not hatmana. So we saw the Prima Gadam was mistapik reish nun tes mishvus avzav sifkatan gimel reish nun tes gimel. According to the Ramah, let's say it's rubo mechusa, but it's megula lamala, is that still hatmana? Does Rama just mean that if it's uncovered on the top, we're okay so long as it's not fully covered on the sides? Or if it's uncovered on the top, are we okay even if it is fully covered on the sides? So one possibly could hold that hatmana is only hatmana if it's covered both on the sides and the top. One could hold that it's hatmana if it's covered rove on the sides, even if it's not covered on the top. One could hold it's hatmana if it's kulo on the sides, even if it's not on the top. And all those possibilities are reflected in poskim. Shevet Levi points out in the tshuva that the lashon the Ramah in Darkei Moshe seems to be a little bit more mukhra than the way it appears in Agos and Shulchan Aruch. The lashon the Ramah in Darkei Moshe in Sifkat and Gimel, both in the Aruch and the Katzar, is the lo mikri hatmana ela kishemechasa lamala. It's only hatmana if it's covered on the top. So it sounds like anything short of that, even if it's mutman bekulo on the sides, that would not be hatmana. It has to be mechusa lamala in order to qualify as hatmana. And we saw last time that there may be different indications in achronim. We pointed out contrary indications in Chayi Adam, maybe even in Mishnah Berurah, as to whether if it's Megula on the top but Mechusa totally on the sides, whether that constitutes Hatmana or not. We did quote at the end last time a comment that Rabbi Karp made, which Noam will be about since the last year, pointing out that the Yish, if he wanted to give to account for different statements in the Chayi Adam, doesn't necessarily fit so well in the Lashon Chayi Adam, which, looking back, I acknowledge. Rabbi Karp, in his Halacha Sefer, references that he was Ma'arich on this in a memorial volume of the Mevakshei Torah Journal to Rosh Hashanah Zalman, which I wasn't able to find. It's not on Aser Chachma, and the library didn't seem to have it, so I wasn't able to look at his Ma'aricha. But what he had suggested, the Kitzer, in the Sefer, in his Kitzer Sefer, was, at least within the Chayadim, you suggested maybe in the Mishnah Berurah, maybe there's a distinction, excuse me, maybe there's a distinction between where your mechasa did the gadim on top and where it's megula on top. That if it's megula on top, then it's only anmana if it's fully covered on the sides. If it's mechus on top, then maybe it's anmana even if it's only ruba covered on the sides. That may not fit 100% in the Lashon HaChayadam as we read it, but that's his suggestion. Or Chashabis has another suggestion that he thinks works within the Chayadam and the Mishnah Berurah. Or Chashabis has an essay in the back of Volume 1, Siman Beis in the Beirurim. So he thinks maybe the distinction is based on whether the Davar HaMatmin is independently Mosif Hevel, or it's only contributorily Mosif Hevel. Meaning, if the Davar HaMatmin is itself a substance that is the Etzem Mosif Hevel, let's say classic Kitma Efer, that's Mosif Hevel, so then it will be problematic even if it's Mechus on the sides, the Rubo. But if it contributes to a Mosif Hevel, but not actually Mosif Hevel itself, then maybe you require Kulo on the sides.
What's an example of that?
An example of category two would be, let's say, blankets or pillows or something that doesn't itself, isn't itself Mosif Hevel, but maybe contributorily Mosif Hevel combined with other materials.
You're saying if there's kachalim on the bottom and there's...
Right. And there are blankets around the top. Rav Neuber doesn't like that in a letter that he has printed in the back of the Sefer Osos Shabbos, which we'll get to. The bottom line, there seems to be a confusion among poskim as to, are we choshesh, even within the position of Ramahu's Mekel, how Mekel can we go? Will we be prepared to be Mekel, even if it's Mutman Bekula on the sides, if it's Megula on top? Shmas Yitzchak quotes from El Yashiv, Perikov, that if it's Megula if it's one third Megula on the side, then we're okay. And Ramosha, I forgot to bring it down, but Ramosha in Tshuva Mem Zayin Rabbi Eider, sounds like he's assuming that it has to be totally Mechusa. That even if there's a little bit that's Pasuach anywhere, that if there's a little bit that's Pasuach, then that's considered Mutman. But if it's open more than it drops anywhere, even if it's only open on the top, and it's Mechusa on the sides, that would be permissible.
Is there a shear for that?
It doesn't give a shear. Rabbi Eider also quotes, page 373, footnote, Tuf, Shin, Mem, Gimel. Tuf, Shin, Mem, Gimel. That even according to the Bechaber, even if you assume that Hadmana B'mikzas is Hadmana, that's only Hadmana B'mikzas where there's direct contact between the pot and the Dover Hadmatman. So the classic case of Hadmana B'mikzas is you have a pot and you put it on coals. So Rabbi Eider says, that's only true if you're putting a mamish on coals. Then the mechaber would say, "Man with mixes is on mamish." But let's say you have a grate, you have the coals underneath, and then there's a grate on top, and the pot is resting on the grate. So then, even the mechaber may agree that's not considered to be hatmana. That's not what we refer to by a man with mixes. Hatmana mixes means it has to be shakua, or at least directly in contact with the davar hamatmin. Shmuel Yitzchok quotes such an idea from the Beis Meir, the way he understands the Beis Meir, that has to be a little bit shakua in order to be considered Hanmad v'Miksas, but if it's sitting on a blech, then it's not directly touching, it's definitely not shakua in the flame, it's not even touching the flame, then that wouldn't be Hanmad v'Miksas, even according to the Mechaber, and he quotes that from Rav Yashiv as well. Yeah?
Where is Rav Yashiv's one-third covering shear come from?
Don't know. So this is all relevant to the question of crockpots that was brought to the fore in the halakhic literature right before Shlomo Zalman passed away by Yamin Mehemas Manazeh in Adar, with Adar Aleph, Taf Shin Nun Hei, 1995. It was up to that point, it seemed that the conventional wisdom was like the position attributed to Rav Moshe, that's merumas in that tshuva to, maybe more than merumas, but it's half a line of the tshuva to Rabbi Eider, that anything short of hatmana b'kulo is considered a hatmana b'miksa, so even if something is fully mutman on the sides, but it's open on the top, then that's not considered to be hatmana. That's that tshuva memzai into Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Willig reflects that even prior to 1995, and he gave shirim in Hilchos Shabbos in 1981, he already wasn't convinced of that approach, and he thought that tatmano v'miksas is, even if it's open at the top, but it's rubo covered on the side. But he didn't want to say that too loudly because the conventional wisdom was like the position attributed to Rav Moshe. But Rabbi Rubin wrote a letter to Shlomo Zalman in Taf Shin Nun Hei, where he calls into question this conventional wisdom and tries to demonstrate that we should be choshesh, that even if it's megula on the top, but if it's totally mechus on the sides, that would be a problem of hatmana. In which case, when you have this two-piece crockpot, then you're potentially dealing with a hatmana issue, because here is the pot, and if this is a pot, does this make this the crock? I don't know what it's called, but so this pot is going into the crock, and it is pretty much fully mutman all the way around the sides. It's fully mutman on the bottom. So that's hatmana definitely hatmana berubo, maybe hatmana bekulo, short of the top. So that was a question that Rabbi Reuben raised to Shlomo Zalman, Taf Shin Nun Hei. Yonatan?
How do we, is
there
any assuming that the portion of the part of the pot sticking out is already the top? Since it's part of the pot, we consider that to be that the sides are
removable. You mean this little bit?
Yeah.
So Rabbi Rubin's assumed that, if it's that is a miyud enough that that's not significant, meaning if it's mutman berubo on the side, even if it's not kulo, then that would also be problematic.
And for Moshe, the top is open.
And as long as the top is open for Moshe, Moshe assumed that was not a problem. So, Shlomo Zalman responded to Rabbi Rubin in a brief letter that's printed here in Orach HaShabbos and then reprinted in Mincha Shlomo Chelik Beis Simin Lamed Dalid Os Ches Os Hey. This is not the version on the Bar Ilan. This is the first print of Chelik Beis, not the updated one. So Chelik Beis Simin Lamed Dalid, or printed back of Orach HaShabbos, where Shlomo Zalman wrote as follows. Interestingly, I'm not sure why, the tshuva to Rabbi Reuben is dated Vav Adar Aleph Tav Shin Nun Hey. Shlomo Zalman is nifter, I think, Kaf. And in the Sefer, in the printed Shuvah, it's dated Shvat Tav Shin Nun Hei. I don't know what happened with that. So Rav Moshe writes, Rabbi Reuben wrote him a long 12-page letter. He convened it on the Yom HaShabbos, and Rav Shlomo Zalman responded, Lo horesi bazeh shum heter, v'adarav adati maskemes advarav, dekevan shekedera imatav shum mechusa, umutmenes kula o ruba, v'soch machshir chimum chashmali. Since the kedera itself is mutman kula o ruba, even rov would be a problem, ein ma'ad havir shebeinayim nechshav ke'ein umutmenes.
So even if there is this is raised slightly such that there's a tiny pocket of air between the pot and the crock on the bottom, but that's insignificant. That doesn't change the equation to make it considered mutman berubo. That's what we had pointed out last time, that anything that is heat-driven or fire or the equivalent electric driven is considered most of Hevel. And therefore, Ve'en lahakel afil of the mevushal called Sarcho. Ach lo'achar shere isi ha sakideiros. V'neshalti al-kach amarti sh'asar gam v'shi'i lahafsir. Forget about Hamana. There's also a shihiyah and hafzara problem. Rakya asti lo lasos kideira pshuta shel pach. So I'm not exactly sure. It sounds like what he's recommending is to have some kind of a aluminum foil ki'ilu blech where you're putting it inside between the pot and the crock. V'tov shetei gam boletes v'nikeres Shehimavsekas beneim, and it should stick out and also be nicker. The gamim etes ksas is chomer chashmal ve'ish hikatuma. It sounds like he's saying if you put a sheet of aluminum foil inside all the way around so that it sticks out, that would potentially be an equivalent of making it katum for shehir and chazar purposes. Uvofin shekazeh imatav shem levushel chazarcho avshem etam kiyafe. So Rav Shlomo Zalman starts off saying that's going to solve the Hafzara problem, because that'll make a katum. Then he ends off saying that it will also solve a hatmana problem. The Rabbi Bleich points out in his brief article, he's not sure why that solves the hatmana problem, because it's not really raising the pot in any way to make it no longer rubo. And if anything, it's further contributing to the heat, so that's Vaiter most of Havel, or at least Mamed Havel. So he wasn't clear on what that ace accomplishes for Rav Shlomo Zalman. But that was the groundbreaking, earth-shattering tshuva in Tuf Shin Nun Hei. And then Shmir Shabbos, Rav Neuwirth writes in Perek Aleph Sif Peches in the new version, Vashir li shimush v'sir li bishul iti, crockpot. You should ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Shmir Shabbos doesn't write that too often. Rabbi Forth writes that in every paragraph in his Nida Sefer, but Shmir Shabbos rarely writes that. So he explains in footnote Reish Nun Hei. The she'ela zudanti lifnei Rav Shlomo Zalman, asher lefi shez birulo al ofen pulos amachshira zeh not the lessor, v'hu zatzal bikshani levar odes halacha, v'nachon ki kesavti lo richus dvarim, v'veisi lo b'ksuvim b'yoso b'beit hacholim al eres davai, v'thin a rabbi nilkach mitanu moi v'rabi zitzal. Ve'elanu hashulchani lefrot ha'pruta, tei nishmatos rabat sarachayim, zechusa yagin aleinu. So he says, he was working on the back and forth, mamish, the last days of Shlomo Zalman's life, and he didn't get an answer, so we're at a loss as to what the bottom line should be, therefore ask your local Mara HaRav. In the back of the Sefer Osos HaShabbos, Tavshin and Vav, Rabbi Shmuel Koritz, Rosh Kolel, Bnei Brak. So he has Rabbi Rubin's piece, he has a few pieces, including the letter that Rav Neuwirth wrote to Rav Shlomo Zalman in response to Rav Shlomo Zalman's letter to Rabbi Rubin. So he writes, he was not such a fan of Rabbi Rubin's presentation. And he thinks that Rabbi Rubin's presentation of the Chayei Adam was incorrect, and he thinks the real pshat of the Chayei Adam and the Mishnah Berurah LaHalacha is that if something is open on the top, then even if it's mumen on the sides, it's not a problem. In a chanami, a man of a davar, a mozif hevel, a gankin, and a usher elam kain, b'chusa kula. A fila b'chelka, v'al b'chusa b'begadim. But if it's b'chusa kula, and open on the top, that's not Hatmana. So that's what he wrote back to Rav Shlomo Zalman, pushing back at the conclusion. And he didn't get an answer. So that's why he leaves Shmiras Shabbos the way that he does. Shuvah Shevet Alevi, Cheletes Simen Nun Beis. Cheletes Simen Nun Beis is Nota Lahakel as well. He says, if you want to be Mahmir, but to make a tumult, Laharish al Elish Shekem Atirim Zeh Ein Biyadeinu. He says, even if it's true that Rabbeinu Tam and Sefer Yashar says Rubo sufficient, but Mehechetes Lo Yipas like Sefer Yashar. He thinks a simple reading of the Ramah, based on what we saw in the Darkei Moshe, is that as long as it's not Mechus on the top, even if it's Mechus HaKol on the side, that's Mutter. Rav Scheinberg has another argument, Lekula, which is printed in a tshuva in the same volume of Osos Shabbos, where one of the arguments that he makes is Hanmana Berubo Kulo, to the extent that that's usher for the Ramah, is where the Dabar HaMatmin is evenly Matmin and Mosif Hevel, let's say, around the entire area that's Mutman. But here, where is the heating element? Is it all the way around the sides? Or
sort of. It's like it comes out of these two holes.
Yeah.
Covered.
Okay.
And then through that, it kind of heats up the rest of it.
But the actual coils are just on the bottom?
Correct.
Right. So I think what Rav Scheinberg means, if the Metzius corresponds, is that the actual coils are only on the bottom. So the real Dabar HaMatmin is only on the bottom. To the extent that it insulates around the side, that's kind of a derivative or a secondary result. But Hatmana B'Kulo means that the etzem davar hamatmin is bekula.
I think the other one though it does a little bit different.
Yeah.
I'm just trying. Oh no, never mind. Some of them have like nails that come out to keep the heat inside, so then it doesn't actually get released. It just stays inside the metal plate.
So if I'm reading Scheinberg correctly, I think what he's saying is that the heating element itself is not universally, not universally distributed, not uniformly distributed. Sorry, and therefore it's not when we talk about hadmana b'kulur rubo, that's only where the heating element itself, the davar hamatmin, is evenly distributed rubo. Yeah.
I thought the case in the Gemara, like if you put something on gali gefes, so the heat source is like only. And like one part, but since it's much one, since fully much one on top, then that's a problem.
In which case?
So, in the case of, if it was like, when else got
right.
So then that, I mean, there it's not surrounded by someone just heating, it's surrounded by whatever's much one in, and then there's just something heating out of the bottom.
Not sure. Okay. Rav Yashiv, Kovet Shuvas Chela Gimel Simim Ben Gimel, Chela Gimel Simim Ben Gimel, and Rabbi Karp in this Osef Shabbos writes up his conversation with Rav Yashiv in response to Roshama Zaman's letter. That's Osef Shabbos, Volume 1, page Tuf Kuf Yud Zayin. So I'm just going to read it from Rabbi Karp's Zichron Dvarim, which is a little bit more barakhava than the printed tshuva. But he says, Rav Yashiv told him that really it should be choshesh that there is mishum hatmana in a crackpot, based on that sound of the Pima Gadim, that even if it's not covered on top, if it's mechusa kulo bitzadav, then it's aser. But Rabbi Karp says, he asked Rav Yashiv, would it help if you raise the pot above the crock a little bit so that it's not totally flush with the bottom of the crock? So Rabbi Yashiv said, the MS yesh eisel agbiya ma'at, but you shouldn't use just aluminum foil because that's baltel to the kli. You should put in pebbles, marbles, and then that will solve your problem. B'shas Hatzak, you can be Bitzar Fesvara that Rabbi Reuben rejected, and Shlomo Zalman didn't seem to accept, but other posts can discuss. Maybe if something is Derech Bishul, not Derech Hadmana, then that doesn't pose a Hadmana problem. That's a back and forth. The Rosh HaShabbos rejects that. Rav Neuwirth isn't so convinced that it should be rejected. That if this is the way that you cook, then maybe that's not a minor problem. So Rabbi Yashiv says maybe you can be sorry if that b'shas hatzak as a cool up. Then he writes that he heard from one of Rav Shlomo Zalman's sons, that when Rav Shlomo Zalman heard that his mechudin of Yashiv had this eitzah of raising the pot a little bit, then he asked to ask Rav Yashiv if that would solve the shehiyah problem also. But by the time they got back to Rav Shlomo Zalman, he had already been nifter, so they weren't able to ask b'chayev. But they asked Rav Yashiv after Shlomo Zalman passed away, and he said that doesn't help for Shehiyah, that's not Katum, but it helps for Admana. He said if you want to help for Shehiyah or Hatzara and do Ketima, then you would have to use thick aluminum foil and have it stick out of the pot to be Mamayit Bechom. And that would solve Shehiyah. He's not even sure if it helps for Aksara, because maybe this has more intense heat, it's a din of a kupach, and maybe Ketima won't help. And that's what Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv writes himself in Chel Gimel Simen Gimel.
So I think this is why you have some aluminum foil bowls stuck here on the bottom. But my question is just mathematically, if you have to raise it in such a way that you now don't have rov that's mutman, that should probably depend on the height and width of the pot. Meaning, let's say, I'm not sure how you best calculate this, but let's say here, this is 13 inches at the longest point. So when you evaluate it based on square inches, it's 13 inches at the longest point, and it's just under 6 inches tall. So let's say you raise it half an inch. So how would you calculate if that's considered still rubo mutma?
I did not take this into consideration.
No, I'm just asking, meaning that there should be a formula,
it's
yeah?
It's not going to be flush, but I mean, once you raise it up a little bit,
Once you raise it a little bit, then it's totally open on the bottom, but on the sides, it's still...
It's not touching anymore.
Sharing's not touching it. Uh-huh. Okay.
Maybe if you raise it a little bit.
Because of shape. Is that true? It's not touching anywhere?
I believe it's touching at one point. Like, the point... If it's touching at one point, it won't be touching on the rest of the
points. Right. I mean, it might be touching on this side, but it's not touching the other side. Uh-huh. So... Here, let's say. I think you need. I think you would need thicker. Is this what you use, or you use thicker ones?
I use a new one every week.
Got it. So
it could be that the past weeks weren't too good.
Because with those, it looks like it's still doesn't look like it's really raised.
Usually it wobbles. Usually I check if it wobbles.
Okay, so maybe
it didn't wobble this time.
But you brought is this your aluminum foil?
Yeah.
Can I fix them?
Yes, please.
Sorry? It's not going to cook?
I'd be nervous about cooking, yeah. I usually like get it like a wobble, like you can feel the wobbleness, but not...
Why is that not rove?
What?
So it's not rove because over here you can stick your finger in, so it's not movement on this side. Well, that's what you're trying to figure out. But it is... I mean, if I stick my finger in over here, I can only get it between my two fingers. And it looks like it's still pretty much flush, the rest of it. So, again, how do I calculate my rove? On the bottom, let's say it's totally raised.
Well, now you're pushing against the other side.
Okay, well, let's say I'm not. If I put it directly in the middle.
It's not touching it?
So it's not touching. Yeah, I guess you're right.
I think you would have to put more tin foil in, too.
But you're saying at this height it's not going to cook?
I don't know. I never tried it at that height. It could be. Want me to try it?
I don't want to get involved in your shalom bias, but... maybe you can try it on Thursday night and see the experiment. So that's what... however the equation works, I think the theory of that suggestion is that it would no longer be mutman berubo on the side, such that... Or maybe for purposes of that, if it's not mutman berubo, right? Some of the side is open, and the bottom is totally open. So then, yeah.
Also, the in the other pot, it's a smaller pot, which means that means that it does not reach the bottom at all.
It doesn't reach the bottom even without any intervention.
Yeah, it's much smaller.
Ah, look at that. It came with it, or are you
mix and match?
Really?
Yeah. It has like four different sizes.
So it still doesn't, that in of itself. I think you still have to raise it because it's open on the bottom, but the if it's totally movement around the sides, that may still be, may not be rov.
Is it totally
around
the sides?
Let's see.
It's hard to see.
Actually not. Yeah, you're right, it's not. This, right. Okay.
How much space does it need to be if it's considered cropped? Do you consider it not with one?
No, it's not.
How much space?
Yeah, I mean...
it's not clear exactly what the shear is, but there has to be some space that would be noticeable. The way the Svarim talk about it, if it's minute, it wouldn't be discernible, then like 1 millimeter is probably not not enough. Okay, so that was Rabbi Yosef's suggestion. And the crockpot model that avoids all these issues is what was first marketed as a West Bend crockpot. Now there are other companies that have the same patent, where that's what we have, what Rabbi Willig recommends, which is just a flat heating element on the bottom and a pot that rests on the heating element. No money issues at all. And you could easily solve your shihi and asara problems by using a conventional or improvised kind of a blech to cover the heating element and the knots. I was listening in the car last week to a Shir Rabbi Savlosky gave on Mana, and he took credit for introducing the West Bend crockpot to our yeshiva, that he had noticed it the year they got married, which is the year that this whole tumult happened, and he brought his Rabbi Willig's attention. I had in my mind, first learned Bisha with Rabbi Willig in the summer of 96 in camp, and you know, since then, we know the West Bend crockpot was strongly endorsed by Rabbi Willig as the way to go, but apparently Rabbi Sobolowski took credit for introducing that to Rabbi Willig a year earlier, around the time that this whole tumult in Poskim came to the fore. Okay. Let's move on. The Rama, the Mechaber writes in Reishon and Zayin Sif Beis, Afilu Tafshil Shenisbashel Kol Tzarcho Arsul L'Hamdim B'Shabbos Afilu V'Dar V'Shein Amos Sif Hevel. That doesn't make a difference. It's Bashel Kol Tzarcho, still in Isra Amar. As we saw, that was we saw part of this from Ben Tam, but the following line is based on Iran. Mikol Makom, Lasum Kelim Alatav Shel Kedei Lashamar Min Afarim, O Kedei Shelo Yistaneif BaAfroris. However, if you want to cover a tafshil to protect it from the mice or not to get dirty, Shari. So there, the motivation is not for mana. Motivation is simply to protect it from mice. See any mice on the drawing last Shabbos?
No.
Okay, they've been around this year.
We haven't gleaned on Friday
night. Okay. A couple weeks ago, my Akiva told me he was woken up at 2 in the morning with the sound of nibbling at rice cakes somewhere in the room. But anyway... So if you want to protect your cholin from the mice, so then that's not a violation of Admana. It says the Mishnah Berurah, Zivkatan Yudalid, Lasum Kalim, Hainu Afilu Begadim, Shemamidin Esachom, Shelakadera, Shelo Yitzanin, Afilu Hafi Shari Kavishin Bechadim. Even if you're going to be Mamin on Shabbos, Bedavra, Mamin Heva, which is Usher, still, you're allowed to do so because that's not your kavana. Meaning, even if there's going to be a secondary benefit that is going to accrue by covering it, if that's not your intention, that's not a violation of hatmana. Rabbi Falk points out, Zachar v'Shamor Chelik Beis, footnote 308. That's the Rabbi Falk's English svarim that I think some of it was published posthumously, but at least the first couple of volumes he published himself, based on things that he had written, I think, in Hebrew in his other farm earlier. So he points out that the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah sounds like it's only mutter where your intention is totally lishmira. But let's say you have two intentions,
you are interested both in Shmira and in Hatmana for its own sake, then it sounds like that would be usur. It's only if your sole intention is for Shmira min Afarim that we're not concerned. So he says, why should that be? Why is that any different than a regular pot cover? A regular pot cover, no one ever suggested that putting a pot cover on a pot is a violation of Hatmana. Even though in a regular pot cover, most people have a dual intention. You intend for it to protect the food. You also intend for it to preserve the heat. And no one ever suggested that using a pot cover is a violation of Hatmana. So Rabbi Fall comes up with a chiddush that it must be that there's no amount of problem when it comes to a primary covering. So putting a pot cover on a pot, that's a primary covering, even if your intention is Latmana, that's not a violation of Hatmana. So that may relate, and that may presuppose, the Chazanish's position, Simulam and Zayin Oslam Abeis, that there's no Isser Hatmana of a Kli B'Sof Kli, or a Kli B'Sof Ochel. That if you're submerging a kli in another kli, or you're submerging a kli into ochel, that's not a violation of hatmana. And that chazanish itself is talim machlokas. That's against the taz of the Mishnah Brura and the Aruch HaShulchan quote. Taz reish and ches of katan aleph, quoted by the Mishnah Brura reish and ches of katan beis, assumes that there is a problem with hatmana. B'sof kli, or b'sof ochel. Let's read it from the Mishnah Brura, Reish Nun Ches Beis. Kasev Achronim, she'asur likach kli b'sof mashke tzonein, v'litcho b'sof b'shabes a kli mali mayim. You can't take a kli that has cold water and stick it into a kli that's full of mayim chamin, she'yischamin b'tocho, afilu lo yuchal lovely de yasledes bo, even if it's not going to affect bishul, shizav derechat mana mamish, kevin shakula tamas ochel. You're taking a kli of water, you're totally submerging it in another unit of water, that's clear hatmana. If it's going to be yasledes bo, it could be bishul. Even if it won't be yasledes bo, that's hatmana. So that's the taz. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan writes as well. Mishnah Berurah just quotes it. The Aruch HaShulchan gives Musar in Reish Nuches of Gimel. He says, Yesh Misha Megam Gem Al Anashim Shebi Yimos HaChorif Lochim Kli V'Sof HaMashka Kara V'Nosin Es HaKli L'Tho Kli Mali Mayim Cham L'Hatik Sinaso Dizel Ad Manu Gmur. That's the Taz. V'Anachdu Lo Shemana Misha Osakei. That we haven't seen. Rak is Eshaman, what do we see? Sheesh Nashim Shaloko Sakli Shakugal Besocho. The Nosin is a Kli Kula Lesocha Kide Ragadol Shalachalit. People would take a Kli with Kugel and submerge it into the Shalom pot. The Zawad Managamura, the Dabra Mosef Hevel. Came in Shakide Ruhu Besocha Tanur, Shamala Gachal of Yasra Filim Val Yom. The Aruch HaShulchan says you can't do that. You can't submerge a kli even into ochel. That's regular hatmana. The Chazanish doesn't assume that way. The Chazanish is forced to not assume that way because of his chumrah that here leads to a kula. The Chazanish, as we said, assumes, like the Mechaber, that hatmana v'mitzas is aser. So therefore, he's forced to read the Gemara in Daf Mem, the case of Matnis Pach Lambati. So there is a tzir where you're allowed to stick a pach of shemen into an ambati. So if you assume that Amana Mimixas is Laf Atmana, so then you could understand or be mokim that Gemara Pach Lambati is Amana Mimixas. You're allowed to put the pach Lambati where it's only Amana Mimixas, where it's not totally submerged, where the top of the pach is sticking above the water level. But the Chazanish would say that's problematic, because even not a mitzvah is hatmana. So then he's forced to understand that the Gemara there, Pach Mambati, doesn't make a difference if it's mitzvah kulo, if it's hatmana problem, it's usur anyway. So it must be that it's not a hatmana problem because if you're matmin b'soch ochel, that's not called hadman.
What's the ochel like?
The ochel or mashka, or water.
Why is it
matzah?
Why is
mashkin or ochlin? Because that's not derech hamana. Hamana means you're insulating something and insulating substances, but putting something into food, that's not b'chlal l'gzeirah hamana. That's the Chazon Ish in Lamed Zayin, Sif Katan Os Lamed Beis. So then, but back to where we started, so what would we say? That issue Rabbi Falk raises, that if you have multiple kavanos, he assumes Pedasa Mishabura, that would be problematic. So his chiddush, that a pot cover isn't amana, even though you have multiple kavanos, is because a pot cover is mufka from the din of amana, because that's a primary covering. So he's forced to say that because otherwise he thinks it should be a mana. But anytime you have multiple kavanos, even if you have a kavana for davar hamutar, if one of your kavanos is a mana, that would be problematic. So Moshe assumes. Moshe writes as follows: Chelik Aleph Simin Tzadi Hey about thermoses. Are you allowed to put water in a thermos? So he quotes Art Sif and Shulchan Aruch that if your kavana is lishmira, it's mutter. Mishabura says because you're not mechavi lahatmana. Says R' Moshe, nira shehutzrach lazeh, rak v'kisa b'dvarim. Shelo nasu lekach, shelachein im hayam iskavein, hishemachase v'keilim elu, shemamid in achom, v'lo kisa v'dvar macherim, v'lo kisa miyuchad v'kavano, v'ham in achom, haya asu. So Moshe says, Ava benosen a kisa yam miyuchad lakli, mutter v'chol ofen, av shekavanoso gam l'ham in achom, heim en shol kolpanim, sarach l'chasoso, so Moshe says that if you're covering something with the normal cover that it's supposed to be covered with, so then even if there's a side benefit that you're interested in hatmana, but because that's a natural way of covering it, that's not a problem of hatmana. Even if Mimela, your kavana is also to be ma'am idachom. You have to cover it anyway so it doesn't spill. And yet you normally would cover with a regular cover. So then, even if you also have kavana latmana, that doesn't bother us. But if you're covering with a non-natural cover, so then your kavana plays a role. If your kavana is exclusively lishmira, that would be okay. If your kavana is for multiple reasons, that would be problematic.
Different than the
Zohar Shomer,
Rabbi
Falk? It's basically the same idea. Rabbi Falk says it in kind of a broader way, but it's basically the same idea. That, you know, Rabbi Falk quotes this from Moshe, and he says, and he elaborates a little bit more, but it's basically the same idea. That if it's the, we'll see there may be a difference, but Rav Moshe says, if that's the normal way that you cover it, then it doesn't bother us if you have multiple kavanos. If it's not the normal way you would cover it anyway, then we are bothered by multiple kavanos. And Ramosh has another tshuva. This is, I think, Mem Vav Drabi Eider. Ha'im mutter lichrof b'shab is davar gush b'vushal tzonein b'niyar aluminim l'chamama b'hefza kadeira. So can you cover a piece of kugel in aluminum foil and put it on the blech? Is that a mono problem? So Moshe says, Korcham b'niyar aluminim nami hu hatmana. Wrapping something in aluminum foil would be a hatmana problem. So Rabbi Eider understood in Ramosha here that Ramosha is working with the same idea, it doesn't flesh this out, that everything is dependent on kavana, meaning that wrapping something in aluminum foil would be a hadmana problem if your kavana is for hadmana. If you're wrapping it in aluminum foil to protect it, that the mice shouldn't get to it, then that would be mutter. And potentially, if you have two kavanas, that also could be problematic. Rav Shlomo Zalman quotes this from Moshe, and this is Simla Medalech Bey's Siv Zayin. He says he doesn't understand Ramosha. Efshar shu oser rakish amunach atuf besoch hakadeira. Maybe it's only oser if it's wrapped inside a kadeira. Aval gamzelo mistavir shrei osim kain rakadei shelo yis arev im sharatav shilim elo lishmar alachom. If you're doing it there, let's say you wrap a piece of kugel and you put it in the chalent. So the reason you're wrapping it is not to be matmin the kugel, it's to make sure that it doesn't disintegrate or get absorbed into the chalent. But now that you have a hadmana motivation in mind. But that's not necessarily inconsistent with Ramosha. The way Rabbi Eider understood Ramosha's, there's nothing special about aluminum foil in either direction. It's simply a function of your kavana. And Rabbi Wiederman pointed out to me, David Feinstein is quoted saying the same thing in V'dibar Tabam, Chelek Aleph, page Kuf Mem, that Ramosha agreed that if you're using aluminum foil simply to protect it, that would be mutter. David raises, he's quoted there, he's raising the following question though. Let's say if your intention is to preserve the food, to be shomer min achbarim or the like, then that's clearly mutter. That's not a hatmana problem. But let's say your intention isn't for hatmana, but your intention is to not get the pot dirty. You want to use a plastic, you put the challenge in a plastic bag in the crock pot, so you don't have to wash your crock pot, which apparently is very unhealthy. But leaving that aside, Rav David was concerned. Maybe that is a mono problem, because it sounds like we understood it is. It's not just that you need to have kavana for mono to be a problem, but it's that there's a carve out if your kavana is for the benefit of the tafshil, then that's not a mono. But if your kavana is not for the benefit of the tafshil, even if it's not lahatmin, then maybe that's still problematic. So he raised that as a question. I'm not exactly sure the cheshbon. You take a look there at volume 1 of V'dibar Tabam. But that addresses Rav Shlomo Zalman's question on Ramosha, that no, Ramosha agreed fundamentally, even if you use aluminum foil, if your intention is lishmir or the like, that would be mutter. He's only saying that if your intention is lahatmana, then that is a form of hatmana which would be problematic. Yeah.
You're putting the challah in the plastic before Shabbos. So
Why would that?
You're putting it in the plastic before Shabbos. So you're saying that's the best mamid hevel, not most of hevel.
Yeah.
Is that the case? Why isn't it
plastic? I mean, because you're being, is then going into a crock pot?
Yeah. The Shvus Yisrael quotes the same thing from Ufa Yashiv as does Rabbi Karp, that to wrap a piece of cloth and put it in the chalin in aluminum foil, if your kavanah is the shmira, or your kavanah is that it shouldn't disintegrate, but not that you want to be matmin the kogel, that would be okay. And some poskim say, Shabbos Kitchen talks about this, some poskim say that to demonstrate that that's your kavanah, then maybe you should make holes in aluminum foil. Then that would show your kavana is that that you want the kugel to, or the tam to mingle, and your kavana is not lan mana. Although, if you just need to demonstrate that your kavana isn't that it should, it just it shouldn't disintegrate, then presumably you wouldn't need the holes either for that. Rabbi Willick says that everything should be based on your ikker kavana. Meaning, if there's a small side benefit of almana, but your ikker kavana is the shmir or the like, that'd be mutter. And they could use the term vashem nirah lelevav, that Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what our real kavanas are. But the way Shmir Shabbos has it, Sif Peivav. Isser Admana who rakim yamin besis kalim, divrei machal and asunim bakli. Oh, im yamin besis kalim, eila divrei machal shayna asunim bakli, gom besa chamu bakli basa, hashti de chamu humanichim takas bagadim. Oh, im yamin ocha shabakli basak ochal cham, avala in Isser Admana ba'amana ocha basak ochal acher, afilim kabanasa lachamim as habutma. L'chein mutter l'aseis natach basar kar mevushal chasarach v'soch marakham hu shala einu nasun al gabe ha'esh. It sounds like you think b'chlau that we're not worried about a man of ochel v'soch ochel even if your kavanah is lachem es hamudman, if it's not lahatmin es hamudman. Okay. Okay. Apparently there's a relatively new thing on the market called sous vide or sous vide cooking. You familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
You have it?
My brother does.
Okay. So I don't know anything about this firsthand, but I am reading you from an article from the Star K website by Rabbi Mordechai Frankel from the Star K. It says that this is a method of cooking in which food is vacuum sealed in a plastic pouch, cooked in a bath of water at an accurately controlled temperature, typically 125 to 175 Fahrenheit, which is considerably cooler than standard cooking temperatures in an oven. There are a number of benefits to this kind of cooking. The heat is evenly distributed. You want to have a situation where part is well done and part is rare. And the meat retains its natural juices. Can't be overcooked. However, this raises a lot of money issues.
Cooked in water.
I'm sorry?
It's in a plastic bag.
Right.
Like fully vacuumed in
mm-hmm.
water.
Right.
So there's no water that could get into it.
Right. So he says, this may be, may relate to our issue of wrapping the kishka in foil and putting it in cholent. So maybe you'll argue that here as well, the reason you have the plastic pouch is just to keep the food dry, not to retain heat. However, he says, the counter argument is that vacuum packing and water bath are essential components of the cooking process. It's necessary for the food to be dry for this method of heating to be effective. Therefore, it would be considered hadmana. Therefore, Rabbi Hyneman paskins that leaving vacuum packed food in a sous vide hot water bath over Shabbos is considered hadmana v'dagar hamosif heva. Says one solution might be if you make a lot of mana v'mixas to make sure that it's not fully submerged, but that won't necessarily help because that defeats the purpose of the cooking, which is to heat it up equally. So practically speaking, this would be a problem for Manu Bedavar on most of Hevel. Seems to be the conventional wisdom.
Rav Asher says a tshuva to Rav Zatz.
He was chozer.
Oh.
But originally, what are you looking at?
Rav Asher's tshuva.
I'm sorry? Where are you looking at it?
It's not online.
Is that published in the Sefer? Or?
No idea.
I don't think so. I think Rav Asher wrote one tshuva initially. The first tshuva was Lechumra, and then he was closer to be Makel, but it wasn't exactly clear why. Why?
Or
wasn't as compelling.
In Levit Torah,
yeah.
Michael Sieb told us that it's allowed.
Okay.
I have the Shir written up that sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you actually reminded me of that. I forgot about that, but I think there were two tshuvas. I don't remember if I saw them inside, but forward me what you found. We can reassess next time. I think Rabbi Zatz assumed it should be problematic, and that was the first tshuva, and then Rav Asher was closer, I think, with Kula, but I don't remember the... I forgot about that. I'll have to check. So that concludes Hanmana, concludes Shiyafsar Hanmana, concludes Bishl Shiyafsar Hanmana. And Mr. Hashem, we will start moving now with rapid speed through some of the other malachos. So I hope on Sunday, Mr. Hashem, to do Rechitza, that won't even be a full shiur, and then begin Gozis. Okay.